Good morning and welcome to our chapel service today. This morning we have a brief announcement at the beginning from Pastor Joe Johnson, who is Wisconsin Synod Pastor on the U of M campus and has a mission field up there under the title of True North. Please.
The University of Minnesota, you take all the people in Mankato, put them on your campus, and you still need 10,000 more people. 50,000 students from all over the country, all over the state, all over the world. In a brief period of time, I remember on campus in the student union, standing there in like 20, 30 minutes, I talked to a Buddhist, a Hindu, an atheist, and a girl from South Korea who wasn't sure if she was a Christian or not and wanted me to help her find out. It's an incredible community. It's a city of people who are incredibly bright and smart, intelligent, have interesting ideas, cultures all over the world, and yet it's a community that doesn't really know Jesus. We are giving you the opportunity on October 20th to come up and be part of the Jesus Challenge. It's a challenge to us to let people know whose side we're on. And on a campus where sometimes professors ridicule you for that, where people are actively out there railing against Christianity, that's a challenge. It's a challenge to be out there and encourage other Christians who feel all alone, who feel beat down, that they're not, that they serve the King of Kings, and they have a message to share. And it's a challenge to the world to get past stereotypes, to actually listen and read for themselves the words of Jesus, to explore it deeply and not just go with a stereotype and dismiss it out of hand. We are going to try to reach 30, 40, 50,000 people, and we're asking you and some students from MLC if you'd like to come up and help us do that. We're basically asking you to walk to the Red Sea with us, to walk around the walls of Jericho, to walk to the empty tomb and see how real and alive this Jesus is. So October 20th, we're asking you to spend a whole day with us. The rest of the weekend, you can have fun with our group and spend your midterm break in the Twin Cities. We'd be happy hosts for you. But pray about it. Think about it. Come talk to us. Jonathan and I are going to be over in the Old Main at a table with the Jesus Challenge. For more information, you can go online. Give us a call. Lord bless your day.
Oh,
Our reading is from 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. St. Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen." Like probably most of you, I was blessed to have an amazing and wonderful mother. And she would have done almost anything for me, very self-sacrificing for me. She would even take money that she made at her piano lessons that she taught and give me an allowance when I was a child. And when I was in fifth grade, I took some of that very money that my mom had given me and went out to buy her a gift for Christmas to show her my love. And I bought a nice little figurine with these cool little sticks that you could put inside of it and burn them to make the house smell nice. And as she unwrapped my nice little gift on Christmas, my brother was sitting next to me, and he said to me, "You idiot, that's a figurine of Buddha." And then he said, "Hippies burn that incense to smell up the cover of smell of marijuana." I was very pleased to discover from my brother that my mom was not a Buddhist, and that she didn't smoke pot. But how graciously my mother received my gift, as foolish as it was, as ignorant as it was. 2 days later, I remember coming into the house and could smell that incense, and there was that little Buddha sitting on the TV with this nice little aroma filling the living room. I had purchased it with her own money. Thank you. But she was still somehow able to see my love inside of that foolish little gift. How gracious our Heavenly Father is toward us. He takes the gifts that we bring to him, as imperfect as they are, as sometimes begrudgingly as they have been given, taken and given to him from the very blessings that he has already poured out on us, and yet he is happy to receive them, he blesses them, and he even uses them for the advancement of his gospel. It's interesting that matters of charity and matters of giving or our Christian stewardship are sometimes kind of difficult subjects for us to handle with our spiritual lives. It shows how tenaciously we hold on to our stuff. It shows how much we are in love with our goods and with our money. It exposes my sinful, selfish, cold heart. Remember, years ago, there was a man in our church body that used to go out and talk to people about giving to the Lord's work. And he said, so often people would say to him, "Yeah, you know, man, if only I had $1 million, boy, I would really give a big gift to God." And he said he always had to bite his lip because he wanted to say back to them, "You know, it's obvious God could care less what you would do with $1 million. He would have given it to you by now. But he really wants to see what you're going to do with what he has blessed you with." In the text before us, St. Paul displays for us the generosity of these Macedonian Christians. And it puts me to shame when I consider just the outpouring of generosity, apparently even from their poverty. It was a special offering that was being gathered for the Christians in Jerusalem who were suffering. And the churches in Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea were so willingly involved in this. He says, according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift. And Paul talks about how it was so tremendous to see God's work inside of them, how the Holy Spirit had created faith in them to hold on to God's grace, and what this had now produced in them, this visible fruit of God's grace to enlarge their hearts with such tremendous outpouring of charity. And what I love in our text here is that Paul could easily turn this on us and just lay it on our consciences, but he doesn't do that. He doesn't make it a command from God. He doesn't make it a law issue. He keeps it entirely under the gospel and the grace of God. He gives us spiritual advice and encouragement based on the gospel. If anybody in this world should understand charity, it should be believers in Christ, people who've been blessed to know God's charity toward us. The last verse, Paul says it so beautifully. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. He's talking here about the incarnation of the Son of God, who chose to set aside the full use of his glory and power and might and authority in heaven, and to come down and take on human flesh, to live a humble life in this world and to suffer the death of a common criminal in our place, and to even feel what hell was like so that you and I would never know that. While we were sinners, Paul said to the Romans, Christ died for us. And when we think about what the Son of God was willing to give up for us and impoverish himself on purpose so that we could be eternally forever rich, we understand what real divine charity is all about. We have benefited from the ultimate charity program. The Creator has become the creature and permits himself to suffer abuse and injustice and even the torments of hell in order to spare his primary creature back to himself in heaven. Now, it's not God's desire to force or pressure charity out of us. It's not God's desire to try to hammer gifts out of us. But rather, he has chosen to love them out of us. Think of the charity that swelled up in the heart of Zacchaeus once he came to know who Christ was and what he had done for him. Think of the charity that swelled up in the heart of the woman who came to anoint Jesus' feet. This is what is pleasing to God, when these works of faith are just responding to his fantastic love and mercy and grace for us in Christ. Paul says, as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. Why does God want us to abound in the grace of giving? Well, the reason God encourages us to do this is not for his sake. He's God. He owns everything. If he really needs our money or some gift that we give, he could produce it himself. He's made it all already. No, the reason that we're encouraged to give is for our own sake. It's for the advancement in our own spiritual lives. First of all, so that we don't cling to the world's goods, which are meaningless and gonna be buried someday, and that we remember that our true treasure is in heaven. And also that we use the gifts and things that we've been given in this life to benefit our fellow man, and most importantly, to advance the cause of the gospel around the world. It's maybe difficult for a little child to comprehend the depth of a parent's love and the depth of a parent's sacrifice, but once that child gets old enough and starts to see and understand and maybe becomes a parent themselves, how they have a different perspective on that great love and sacrifice of a parent. Just think how amazing it's going to be for us someday when we get to heaven to finally realize what the Son of God gave up for us and how deep God's love is for us, that he just freely gave us this amazing home. Amen. Please rise. Today we have a prayer request from Alex Schmidt, and A little child, a three-year-old girl named Anna, closely connected to her family, has been diagnosed with leukemia, is undergoing treatment, and apparently doing well. Let us pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, we approach your throne on behalf of little Anna and pray that according to your will, you would continue to grant her improvement. We are so blessed in our day to enjoy advancements in science and knowledge, which is now being used for her benefit. Be with her and her parents through this ordeal, and above all, give them a knowledge of your great love for them through the work of your Son, our Redeemer, in whose name we bring our request. Amen.